Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for taking part of my manhood away at that conference center. Just took me a while to get the card back. What's amazing, seriously, he's really a good martial artist. I mean, and a shooter. I'm not going to lie. He can flat get it done. And his beard's pretty good, too. Not bad beard right there. Call that a working beard. Well, it's great to be here. And hello to all my friends who've traveled. A number of you have traveled a good distance to get here. I'm grateful. And Facebook folks and actually, I think former staff of the Turners here. There they are. I love y'all. Okay. Dave and Karen, his wife, went on staff when we first started the ministry. And I was so nervous because I was like, hey, man, you like got a real job. You sure you want to come into ministry? I don't know how long I can pay you for. It's ministry. And they were like, we're doing this for the Lord, not you, Victor. So let all that pressure get off of you. And they came and served. And boy, we learned a thing or two about spiritual warfare during those days, huh? That was the time when we were in juvenile prisons pretty intensely. And that was the first time I had a girl manifest a demon in a juvenile facility. That was interesting. I didn't even know what to do. I was like, hey, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I should have read all them scriptures on the demoniac deal. And I was like, I think we better get some pigs first or something. I don't have a lot of IQ, but I use them all. Great to see you, my friend. And then I think we have friends here who are actually in Mosul at the time where we were. Yeah? Yeah, God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Love y'all. Thanks for coming out today. Thanks for going over to Iraq. Which, Mosul, right now, really good time to get property. Right? I mean, you got to be good at handiwork and refurbishing and shooting. But outside of those two things, good time to get property. So, what would Jesus do? Just by way of, just raise your hand. You don't know me. You never heard me speak. You don't know nothing about me. Raise your hand real high. All right, good. Then I'm going to put out a disclaimer. Dave, put your hand down. What would Jesus do? I'm not that type of guy that wears those wristbands. If I wore anything, it'd be like, what would Peter do? That's kind of, I'm more like him. I'd be the disciple that caused Jesus to do his last miracle before the crucifixion, right? Victor, oh my gosh, it's an ear, really? Put the knife away. And one thing about Peters who are just like go-getters, we're all about it, right? Ah, but without God's spirit, in the moment of great need, we fold. And you find out really how lacking you are apart from God's strength. Does that make sense? I mean, apart from the power of God and his truth, there's no way. It's like when you face a demon in somebody's life and there's a manifestation. I remember one time I was praying for an older fella. And he was a Gentile man and, you know, in church for years and all that. And we agreed I'd pray for him. And I'll never forget. We're in a hotel area, and he was sitting in a chair, and all of a sudden, you know, he changed. He was like, I will kill you. This demon started talking out of him with, he was angry. He was an angry little demon. And he was like, I'll kill you. And he's using potty mouth. And I'm going, I don't think you can because you're a captured demon. They just talk a lot. That's how they influence people through lies. I never forget that man got free. It was pretty amazing. As soon as he's done, he got up. He goes, can I pray for you? Because he's like, that demon's really, he wants to kill you. I go, they all do. Don't worry. The power of God is what protects us, sustains us, and keeps us from fearing. Because, man, you start talking about demons, people get all afraid. Everybody gets quiet in church, too. It's like, don't wake them up, Victor. I'll let you in on a secret. They're already awoke, and a lot of them are here. Demons study, stalk you, torment you, drive you. I'm not talking about for Christians. You'll never hear me say a Christian can be possessed. I don't follow that theology. Possession actually is not even a great term. That denotes ownership. Not so much. But influence, right? In martial arts, if you throw a feint, you know, at somebody and they jerk, and that's all you want to get, isn't that enough? Just that? Do you actually have to hit them to make them move? Not always. Trust you me, because you may be setting them up for this. Boom, boom. That's how the demonic are. They lie. They tell kids all kind of stuff. And people think children don't get affected by the demonic. Give me a break. Look at who Jesus dealt with so much in the New Testament. Children. Parents, you got to sit down with your kids and go, hey, do you ever hear weird things in your mind? Tell mom. Hey, tell dad, what is it you hear? You'll be amazed when your kids tell you, sometimes I just hear, you know, y'all don't love me. Or I can never do anything right. Or y'all are going to heaven and I'm not. Or I need a new video game. That's when you say, that's definitely demonic. Just rebuke that thought. I can't spend any more money. It's like, I told my son, no more money on Legos, boo. You ain't even going to college now. I spent your college money on Legos, okay? So you better hope we can cash that in later for a GED or something. My kids are homeschooled. I don't even know what grade they're in. And I'm pretty much being serious. Because my wife was moving the grades around a little bit because she was the principal. She's like, well, I know y'all different ages, but I think it's easier homeschooling if we put you in the same grade. My daughter was like, there's no way he's smarter than me. Fighting and all that. I was like, stop it. But they had a good summer trip, and they went to Iraq. Can you imagine them telling their school this year? Because we put them in some type of charter school. I don't know, babysitting to me. Go. Learn. Be around humans. And but can you imagine? What'd you do this summer? I went to Iraq. ISIS tried to kill my dad a lot. We helped rescue the orphans. And we had babies in our house. And ISIS wanted to kill my dad. And then we had to hide one time because they still wanted to kill my dad. They probably get sent to the principal's office. Your child is delusional and lying. Really? Look at these pictures. Hey, you want to see some pictures? I brought some from my summer trip to Iraq. You okay with me? Some of you are going, man, dang guest speakers. I came to hear the word of God expounded. And all I can see is I'd rather be sitting there listening to the word of God expounded too. But, so that's my girlfriend. She doubles as my wife. I think she has her hand on my backside right there squeezing. Yeah, the principal. She does that. I'm serious. Some of the most serious pictures. She's going, God, could you just... She loves it because you can get away with it. Woman, cut it out. We were over there. I think we got in an argument. Because can you imagine the stress of a marriage in Iraq? And I got in an argument. I was like, you know what? We're in a different country. I can get me another wife. I can do some add-ons. I told her that. Man, you best be the man in your house. I tell you what, I was like, I can get me a couple more over here legally. She said, I think you should. I was like, what does that mean? She goes, I'll help you pick them out. Good night. She brings Guido, you know. Just the enforcer. Yeah, her husband's being a jerk today. Could you take care of him? So yeah, we foregoed the whole more wives deal. One's enough. And I'll tell you what, she's one of the most godly and blessed by God women that I've ever met. My first trip in, we knew we were going to get pretty close in some bad areas. Been in Iraq 6 times. We finally just got a house because it's so expensive. And unless you're traveling with Dave Eubank, and then that's the low budget, right? Is that, yeah, here, a blanket. Wait, I'm telling you, y'all get to know these people. There's some stories. Okay, I'll just tell one. Remember, we're in Mosul, and we're somewhere. And Dave Eubank, if you don't know him, you'll look him up. Godly man, he's one of my best friends, and he is certainly not right in the head. So, but God has used him. I've been in Burma with him. I was the one that brought him to Iraq, you know, and kept bringing him in. And then finally, I was like, oh my gosh. So he was the one, you may have seen him on Fox News. He actually was the guy rescuing a little girl from ISIS. It was all over the news internationally. And your brother was in that mix, right? Actually got shot as part of it. So anyway, Dave, we're staying in their forward house, you know, and Dave always tells you just enough to get you to go a little bit further. Am I right? And then you find out a little bit more later, but it's too late. He's like, oh yeah, this house, it's our second one because we were being targeted by ISIS because they were trying to, it was a suicide bomber, like 3 doors down, kept coming getting supplies, gauging us. So I was like, and then what about this? Well, yeah, we think they're gauging it for mortars. I didn't sleep very good that night. Me and my security team, we're on top of the roof doing watch. But hey, you know what? I got shot that night. So being in Iraq, my wife, she told me the first time I was going, when we were going to a bad place, she goes, honey, I think I should go with you. I was like, no, you, nuh-uh. She goes, no, yeah, I think God wants. I said, no. So I showed her all kind of video and pictures of the horrendous things ISIS does to women. And finally, she goes, I know you don't want me to go because there's tension. Any married people? You ever get tension? What's your? If our wives just knew we were always right, wouldn't it be easier? Amen. Women folk. And my wife, she pulled up that trump card. She goes, have you prayed? I was like, well, woman, be silent in the church. I hardly know any scriptures, and the ones I know, they didn't fit. She's like, pray. So I was like, I prayed, and I thought I felt like the Lord saying, you need to let her go. I said, why do you want to go? I mean, what do you want to, you know, I'm putting together a pretty hardcore team and former special forces guys, and we can do our movements, and all my security's going, don't bring no wife. Are you kidding me? And all this. She goes, when you find those girls, and I know you will, she goes, you can't hug them, but I can. I said, you're willing to risk your life to hug a girl? She goes, yeah. And then she goes, honey, what's the worst that can happen? We die? I said, yeah. And she looked at me just straight and goes, well, don't we win? I was like, You wear me out, woman. That's her faith. My wife has always been like that. Women, you don't know the power of influence you have on a husband. And so much of the time, this culture makes you think your value is not that great unless you're doing something to get the attention of other or whatever. It's like, my gosh, help mate, come alongside. God knew we needed it. Right? And so please don't abdicate your role or think less than the influence you have of a husband. And I'll tell you something else, since we're talking about husband and wives. Wives, ain't nobody going to pray more for your husband than you. Don't expect anybody else to. His accountability partner at church. Wives, you know him better than anybody else. You're like, well, I don't even like him. Well, what's that got to do with it? Just love him. No, it's actually, we're supposed to love our wives. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't it? When we're like, that's right. Man, y'all are quiet right now. I think my wife and I need to come back into a marriage counseling conference first. No, husband, love your wives. Because a lot of times, you know, you want a queen, but you're not treating her like that. Love your wives. Honor, respect. Let her know how valuable she is. If we're always just looking at the external, man, that's pressure on women. That's dumb. Dumb. Talk about the value. Look at your wife and say, I just want to say this about you. You'll be shocked. Really? Yeah. I appreciate the way you do this, that. Huh? Men and husband, love your wives. Love them. Because it's easy in that realm of intimacy just to be selfish. I just say pray. Say, Lord, teach me to love my wife physically, emotionally. Let me love her soul. Where she knows there's a difference. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what the Lord do in your marriage. Me and my wife, married 28 years, 5 children. Been separated twice. One time I loaded her up and the kids, I was like, I'm not feeling too well here. So you ought to leave with the kids. It was wise. Yeah, I had to have 123 visits to a trauma specialist in 9 months. Because of my background, I was left for dead as a child when I was 5 years old. I've been electrocuted, tortured as a kid. Doctors said I'd never fully function. I was like, well, I never fully function anyway. But I don't have to pay off a student loan either. But God's in that business of healing and restoration and redeeming and helping, right? We limit him. We limit Jesus, and that's wrong. So oftentimes, you and I think we know Jesus, just kind of know about him. You know, what other people say. Isn't that true? Right? It's like, but man, when you get to know him, really who he is, he's pretty cool. I mean, just read. There's this ancient text. It's like secret ancient text that's been protected over the years. Scrolls. They call it the New Testament. And you can read his exact words and what he did. Because a lot of it's in red that helps me. Oh, here it is. Yeah, learn about Jesus. Him. Because he's the prize, right? He's the reward. Everything else we do, he's just letting us be part of it. Here's my scripture this morning. We're in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to say Ephesians chapter 5. This is this is a good one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Now here's a little exhortation. It says, hey, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Have you ever done anything foolish? Raise your hand. See, there's foolish stuff and then there's childish stuff. Kids do childish things. And when we get a little bit older, men, women, we should outgrow the childish things, right? It's like, come on. But then, apart from God, you know, and whatever, a lot of times we just do foolish things, which is nonsense. All right, we need God's help. Keep us from doing foolish things, right? And alcohol and drugs, they can really complicate things, y'all. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have done things on substances that we would have never done in the real life? Anybody? Anybody? Be very, and I'm not trying to be legalistic. You can have your cup of wine, but I'm saying, when you get all buzzed out and you're like, bless the Lord. Oh, please. Especially you girls. My gosh, I think alcohol has done more damage among the female population than any other drug in the world. I hate heroin, I hate crack, I hate all that other stuff. But man, alcohol lowers your ability to make good decisions. And all of a sudden, you regret decisions you did make. And then it's a lifetime of trying to believe truth over lies because the enemy will just drive that on you. It's like, lies. And if you believe the lies of the enemy long enough, guess what? They become your truth. That's when you're in trouble. Because then you believe, well, I can never. And no, I'm not. And girls and guys, man, no way. We got to get where God's truth in us, and this is it. Ephesians 15, he says, hey, don't walk as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, this is it. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. I'm in my 50s now, and it's amazing how that does sneak up on you, on me. I was like, well, no, what happened? I remember when I got reading glasses and I saw my hands. You youngsters don't know none about it yet. Finally, I was going, what? Whose old hand is that? Get that hand away from me. That's mine. But I'll tell you what. He's telling us right here, you got to redeem the time, your time. Because I know one thing for sure. We all going to die. And it's like, he talking about demons? He talking about death? I don't like this man. If you stay fearful and not, if you don't know the Lord personally in a relationship, you should be worried. Because you don't have any power over demons or death. You should be very concerned because your eternity is in the balance. And that's why I spend time sharing the truth of God's word, that Christ saying that he really came to set the captives free. He came to destroy the works of darkness. And he came to reconcile people to God. And there, you don't have to go to Iraq to be able to just help people. Do y'all know that? Oh my goodness. Right here where you live in your lane. Do you know the hotel we were at, because I spoke to some men, Lamar, and then some other little town, the lady working at the front desk, the first night, because as they're coming out, first night I walk in and, you know, hi, and talk, and all of a sudden I can't sleep. It's, you know, 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm on Iraqi time, right? So I'm walking around with my dog. We start talking, and she starts kind of telling me things. She's divorced, you know. Try to get in a relationship with another guy. That didn't work out. Got some kids, and you know, I'm like, ooh. I'm looking at her really going, man, I'm looking at my mom, you know, when I was a kid. And I was like, do you know I can give you some relationship advice. I said, you know, I'm married. We got it going on. I said, I like sharing truth. She's like, okay. I said, well, one, there's a spiritual component to all of this. There's actually a realm where there's evil. Do you believe in evil? She's like, yeah, I mean, I guess. And I said, it sounds like you're driven. Because I said, honestly, you're a beautiful gal, and you can tell you're smart. but you sound stuck. And like you're about to repeat some very not good cycles. And she's like, I know. I said, there are demons that study and stalk humans because of the battle between good and evil. I said, you want me to tell you? I can kind of give you a little hint if you got any after you. She's like, yeah. And she was funny. She's like a bodybuilder, so she had good discipline. She's like, yeah, tell me. I was like, well, yes, ma'am. I said, this is what I tell gals. You get out of the shower, you're getting ready, and you look in that mirror, and you just clearly hear, you're ugly. You're a tramp. You're this, you're that. No one's going to ever love you again. You're this, you're that. Boy, she goes, yeah, I hear that all the time. I said, now, you're really good in the fitness? I said, you do self-assessments all the time, working out. She did a double gun for me one time. She was like, gun-doon. I was like, put those away, and I don't know if they're legal. Put them in the holster, sister. So self-assessment, there's no doubt she's in front of the mirror working out, right? But I said, when you hear these negative things in your mind, are they saying you are? You're ugly. You are worthless. You are, and she goes, yes. I said, that's another person. She goes, oh my gosh. I go, yep. I just pulled back the veil for you. There are demons that are seek to drive you, to destroy you, take your joy, and take your life. That was first night, right? And I said, hey, look at my name. Me and my wife got a love story in a movie. I said, yo, watch that movie. And she goes, I'm very interested. And then we went in last night, and I brought her a book. And it was interesting because in the lobby, I had to shoot a little video with a guy named Ben Price. He's from Australia. He's an impersonator. Big strapping Aussie, man. I mean, big boy. And he's a bodybuilder, too. So she's looking at him, me, Jeff, who's my security and travel assistant, who's a world-class martial artist, and then a guy from the hood who's all inked up, and we're all having godly conversation. In her mind, it's blowing her away because there are guys that were coming in there at night that wasn't having godly conversation, right? And she's looking at, and it really ended up being a witness to her. She's going, oh, my God, I didn't even know men like this existed. And we're all married and fat and happy, right? That night, last night, we start talking. I give her my book and stuff. And I said, you know, all this really bases around, it's important that we are reconciled to God and what the Bible says, born again. I said, and I kind of went for it. I was like, has anybody ever, like, told you about the gospel? She goes, no. Right here in Missouri, the belt buckle, the Bible belt. Never heard the gospel. I said, can I share it? Sure. So I just explained the cross, Jesus Christ, the redemption, what he did for us. By the time I finished, real short, I said, is there any reason you can think of you shouldn't give your life to Christ? She goes, none. I said, you want to pray? She goes, yes. I said, all right, let's get you born again, girl. She prayed with her eyes open. Lord, just come in my heart, forgive me my sin. Boom. After she's done, tears coming down her eyes. She's like, I don't know. I'll give you a hug. I think she picked me up for a minute. Man, isn't that what it's about? And God loves that. Right, I mean, here in this town, here in the, I was going to say Diligence, we ain't in Iraq, but, you know, God wants to touch people. He wants to touch people. I'll tell you one story about Iraq. I'm going to show you my pictures. Go catch a flight. Witnessing the Muslims can be tricky, predominantly because a lot of them want to kill you. And just the ones that, like, are angry. But most Muslims are the most caring, loving, moral people you'll ever meet. Tell me if I'm lying. Y'all there, y'all know. When I talk about moral, they have values. Oftentimes, women won't even shake a man's hand because they don't even want that contact, right, for any weirdness. Isn't that interesting? You know, yeah, a lot of them are in bondage because of all the excessive, but not all of them are in that level of bondage. Does that make sense? And I can go to their malls and feel a lot safer than our malls. Nobody's going to jump us. They ain't no, they don't even like, but you, it's not like that. It's amazing. And they, in their culture, really, they really reverence the name of God. Whereas in our culture, man, they want it out of schools, out of the courthouse, soon out of the church. I don't know what we're going to worship. Man. But we were west of Mosul. It was the beginning of the offensive to free it. And, you know, we're out there. We're actually sighting in our weapons. You know, just some people said, I saw you had a weapon out there. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not like going after to try to kill people. I just try to keep them from killing me or us or people we're helping. I've had Christians go, what kind of missionary work is that? Yeah, I said, well, let me ask you, Christian, do you lock your doors at night? If you ever see me on TV with war paint and I'm crawling like Rambo looking for something, it's a little excessive. This car pulls up. And when cars roll up in the middle of nowhere, you get a little anxious. And everybody's like, hey, hey. And this guy jumps out of the car and he starts yelling, my wife, help my wife, help my wife. Small car. But look, I see a woman in a hijab completely, you know, that's just a little bit of her face black. And I'm like, ooh, oh, man, there could be something in there. She could clack off on us. Could be something in that trunk. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I felt called to go that way. I'm a lot more courageous at distances, I'll tell you right now. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, go. I'm like, oh, here we go. So we're walking up, and he comes. He says, she is having psychological problems. I thought, Sila, I just finished a movie on trauma. How does this work? I'm in the middle. It's like I'm being punked. All right, what are cameras? This is a good one. My film crew, what y'all doing? No, she was having psychological problems, and he was driving toward a medical, you know, an Iraqi medical unit. We were the only Americans out there for anywhere, right? So I look inside, and she's been burnt. And then I felt myself get tense because I'm thinking, ooh, you burn your wife. Because there's that segment of abuse that happens. I was like, man, I'm going to hurt your feelings. Use the ministry of laying on her hands. And then he explained that she keeps having these horrible thoughts to hurt herself. I said, what are the thoughts? She said, to drink poison, burn myself, and cut myself. I did an assessment for trauma, and no doubt she was traumatized. But I think this is something else. I said, do y'all believe in evil and demons, literally? And they're like, yeah, because Muslims do. I said, I think this is demonic. I think this is something evil. And I said, do you mind if I pray for her in Jesus' name? It just got real. You know what? She looked at me and said, is Jesus alive? I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, he's very alive. And he loves you. And I'm sure he can help in this situation. And I go, yeah, pray. So I prayed against demonic forces, dun, 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 boom. And then she goes, my mind is free. She goes, my mind, it's good, I can. And I thought, oh, my gosh. It was amazing, the instant response and freedom. Jesus set her free. Now, can you imagine when they drove back to the little village and she's in her right mind and she's not always trying to drink poison, burn herself, or cut herself, and people looking at her going, whoa, man, what happened to you? And she goes, Jesus healed my mind. He delivered me from the demons. That's a pretty good witness anyway, you go around it. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's plenty of evil out there, but we have Christ on our side, right? And I don't know about y'all, but I kind of like making the devil ticked. Because if you follow Jesus, one of the verses in Ephesians says he came to destroy the works of the devil. And there's another scripture says he gave us like power or something to do even greater things. Have you ever heard that one? I think it's a matter of belief, right? Lord, really? Here's the key to it, and I'll end and show you my pictures. Here's the key. I think there are, one, a large segment of people around here that just need to get really saved. I mean, genuinely, you need to get born again. You know religion. You know, but you don't even like church. You don't read the Bible. You're not into it. And it's like, do you even really know Christ? I mean, him. And if you're honest, some of you got to say, no. No, I don't. I go get me a little bit of church sometime, and my wife drags me down and, you know, drugs me. You notice your Benadryl bottle's going way down before church services. I'll go. You just need to get saved, really, really saved. And then there are believers, you got to get over fear. You got to get over these lies of that the enemy is planting in your mind. You got to replace them lies with truth. Can you imagine me if I kept believing what I did all my life as a kid? Tortured as a young kid, electrocuted, dunked in a tub till I passed out. A lot of horrible stuff. My mom married 6 times, 14 schools, 17 houses. I was so insecure, you cannot even imagine. And when we're insecure, we'll do things to try to compensate, right? And I was into drugs. I couldn't get no girls when I was a young teenager. I mean, they're like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Lonely, empty, finally found a place to take me in, you know, give me food to eat, and a weapon with the Marine Corps. And I was like, so I can shoot people legally? You got issues, young man. Yeah. Come on, man. But that was back. Hey, that was back when the Marine Corps was thin on people, and we were using muskets back then. So long time ago. But people say, what about your grandparents? Because if your parents were messed up, well, you know, one of my grandparents... grandfather died in a mental hospital. It was the same mental hospital that my dad actually had to go to. I literally thought, well, we got a timeshare there? Because, I mean, I guess I'm up next. I mean, I grew up for sure. I mean, even into my marriage, I would say, I'm not crazy. Because crazy thoughts don't make you crazy. Y'all with me? And I'm like, I'm not crazy. My wife would go, I know that. Okay. So as long as you do. My other grandfather, he caught his wife cheating on him. He killed her. Shot himself in public. That's why I hate infidelity. That's why I hate sex outside marriage. Bad things happen. God can redeem stuff, but man, are we really better as a society for having sex before marriage? Are we really better? Are you really better for having sex before you got married or sex while you married with somebody else? Is that really better? I never forget a gang member in L.A., a juvenile. I never forget. I was talking about purity. He goes, it ain't all that it's cracked up to be, man. I said, you speak the truth, young lawyer. And that was a group that ended up saying, Look here, I think the best advice I can give you outside of spiritually, because it was the largest juvenile prison in the country, 35,000, I think it was 35,000 cases a year in one county. How's that for issues, right? I said, I think you should wait to have sex, so you get married, if you stop and just do it the way, I said, I think if everybody, Man, if everybody did it God's way and just waited, man, woman, in marriage, that's it, our world would be better. And this kid, because it's a tough kid, he raised up his hand, and you knew he was a leader. Guards, every other row, they were like, you know, hey, I got to say something. I got to say something, I'm a preacher man. And they call me the karate preacher man. Isn't that funny? And I said, no, go ahead. He goes, hey, yo, man, that's crazy. You're saying, I ain't supposed to do nothing until I'm married and just, he said, I got to share my love with all the women. You know? I was like, yeah, I bet you're sharing more than love. And he said, how would it be better? Ooh, I didn't really plan a response for that one. It just sounded good when I said it. Like, you know, unicorns and flowers. And he's down there. You tell me how it's going to be better. Because trust you me, kids locked up, they ain't dumb. There's a lot of leaders in there, a lot of smart kids. And that's when I went, oh, Lord, you got to help me. And boom, I said, you'd have a dad at home. He goes, dang. And he sat down. And I said, how many of you would have never have to hear your mom and dad fighting because of bad things happening? Divorce wouldn't be like it was. Some of you would actually have a dad because he would have stayed with your mom, married her, and just on and on. You never have to hear your sister know that she was raped. I said, some of you young men will never have to hear your mom bringing a dude in at 2 a.m. from the club. And you know what's going on. All you want to do is grab a knife and stab that guy in the neck. I know what that's like. You could see young men, hot tears coming down. Because even though gang members, part of, they know there's a sacredness in their mother not sleeping around with a bunch of dudes. Now, they may be trying to go out, but they know there's a sacredness. I said, the world would be a better place. I said, a 5-year-old boy would have been never abused and locked in a cooler left to die. I said, that was me, 1970. I said, conversely, what God offers is, just take my life. I'm married 28 years, 5 children. First person in 3 generations to never cheat or be cheated on or be divorced. And I love my wife, and we have great prayer times together. We expound the word. We have a little bit of revival. If Christians don't talk about it, if we don't do a counter message, you think our kids in this culture are ever going to care? Oh my gosh. I tell our kids, yeah, hey, I told my kids growing up, when y'all need to know about sex, you come and talk to daddy because I'm the expert. And my wives always talk about how intimacy is healthy and good and it protects your marriage. And, you know, she even tells women in women's conferences, it's good for your endorphins, lady. It gets you happy. The men are like, y'all ought to have a women's conference here. Honey. We've given up ground to the enemy in the area of what God made and designed. We let the world movies and all that dictate music to our kids and culture, what that's about. Shame on us. I'll say one more thing about that since I'm on my hobby horse. Gay marriage, how we lost that in the Supreme Court ruling and all the Christians are mad and all the money that was spent. I remember telling a group of conservative Christian leaders, influencers on our country, I said, we wasted too much time and money on that issue, and we lost it. You want to know why? Because those, so many guys and people standing up and holding signs and being, had horrible marriages at home. They're looking at porn. Oh, they're not doing the gay thing, but you know what? They're looking at, They don't have pure power against forces of darkness. They're just trying to do something that, you know, well, yeah, we're not going to. Man, I'll tell you what. If Christians had better marriages, you think a number of homosexuals don't look at that, especially when they're in their marriage and it ain't going good? I mean, you think your marriage struggle, people in the gay lifestyle, it ain't easy. I mean, we had some neighbors, two ladies that, you know, were married and all that and had a kid from different. And I remember she would walk her baby, around, and she's kind of the tough one. She'd walk her baby around in a mop bucket. Put blankets and a mop bucket and a rope, and she'd pull that baby around the neighborhood. And she'd turn a corner, and that little baby would go. And I went out there, and I would end up start walking with her. I'm like, hey. I said, you ever think about a stroller? We can get you one. She's like, ah, this works. I said, it's funny. I ain't going to kid you, you know. And she goes, and we had that conversation one day. She goes, I know who you are. She's like, yeah, I guess you're going to tell me my lifestyle. I said, I ain't got to say nothing except how hard is it? She goes, when she knew I wasn't going to judge her, she's like, people have no idea. She's right now, we're in a fight. She left. She'd been gone for 2 weeks. And she's using drugs again. I'm like, gosh, can I pray for you? She's like, yeah. That's funny. People won't turn me down from praying for them. Even Muslims. I got a few Christians who will. You just take that somewhere else, man. Okay. That's all. You want to see some photos? All right, well, there's my good looking. I will see you tonight, baby. You know, I got Marvin Gaye playing in my head all the time. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah. She's watching this going, whatever. Okay. Sweet little gal. This is the gal that I said, she's really probably the most recognizable faces in international news. We called her the girl with no name because she didn't have one when she was rescued. She had her mom and her were fleeing. Oh, shoot. Anyway, her mom was shot, and she was full-term pregnant. And she hid underneath her mom's dress for, was it 2 to 3 days? Yeah, and would only come out to try to get water from dead bodies that were strewn around. I have the picture, but we decided not to show it because of the youngins. And thank God for brave men and women who have stepped in the gap at the risk of their life. And you don't have to agree with their tactics or how they do or whatever, but you should pray and support them. Because somebody's out there doing it. So, next, she was horribly traumatized. You couldn't touch her. She wouldn't talk. The only way I connected with her is she was humming during that time, you know. The only way I had a slight connection with her is I leaned my head against hers and I was humping. Because actually, I remember as a kid, that's what I'd do to self-soothe. You'd rock and hum. When her head's hit, she got it and she leaned into me a little bit. Next. You see how sad that is? In the world, and many people would give up on her. But God has a way to heal people when the rest would give up on her. We took her into our home, and we used this really advanced strategy of trauma care that I had to go to years of school. I have 3 PhDs in trauma care. Dave, why are you smiling? Don't smile like that. That's not nice. Okay, 8th grade was the best 6 years of my life. I don't know about all that PhD stuff. I get it mixed up sometimes. I thank God for you educated folk, and I have a lot that work with me, but I didn't get that route. This was her after a week being in our home. Unbelievable. God restored her soul. She started talking, And we end up finding her name through tracking everything down. And her name is Dama, which actually means tear in Arabic. And we explained to her how God, you know, he does that thing with tears. He keeps all of them. And you know how she started laughing, the breakthrough? My 13-year-old daughter was sitting with her, and she had a little jar of bubbles. This was the advanced therapy. She had a little bottle of bubbles. She starts blowing bubbles. And the girl looks up, and she smiled. And the next thing you know, she started talking. And then she wanted bottles. I was like, she's talking. She's laughing. Get bottles. I mean, I like bringing in bottles everywhere. She's like, pff, pff, pff. I was like, more bottles. Bubbles from heaven. Amazing. This little boy was captured at, we think about 10 years old. His father and brothers believed to be killed when ISIS came into the village. They capture, kill, take women, and they'll take boys. This young man was actually being used by ISIS as a fighter. You know, he's a little apprentice carrying weapons and doing loadouts and all that. He's so thin and frail. You'll see him in a hospital bed because he had shrapnel go through his back into his stomach and infected. And that's the day we got him. And that's a couple of our team members. Look at his legs. And he'd been in captivity for almost 3 years. We were able to take him to good medical care, then find, because part of our ministry, we have an intelligence aspect, right? A group, because you need to find out things. And the goodness of God, we found family. We're able to get him, physically take him, help restore, but then put him with his uncles. And now he's in Canada. We found out that his mom actually had lived and escaped in Canada. I don't have the current picture, but he's gained weight. He got a cool haircut. He got some little, you know, grooves in him. And I thank God for that case. Now this is typical of Mosul, where fighting is. It would be a neighborhood that's just been plundered and destroyed. And that little girl right there we called Boo. She was recovered from a pile of concrete, and believe it or not, lived. The rest of her family was killed. When these orphans pop up, you don't know their names. You don't know their family. And our dear friend General Mustafa, who you'll see in a minute, he calls us. But here's the first day that we got her. She had been cleaned up, and we fell in love with that little one. We fell in love with all of them. That's her and then another little boy recovered. That's Ali. And people say, wow, they just kind of cling to you. Well, they don't have a choice. I mean, they're so traumatized. You know, it's just survival mode. So that's Boo at the bottom, just pulled out of the concrete heap. And then that's her with us after about a week. And we had a lot of work. She had lots of, you know, she had lice in her hair and all that. But you know why we called her Boo? Because when you see her walk and other videos on our website and Facebook, remember the movie Monsters, Inc.? That little girl, Boo? Exactly. She does like this, and she would go after my dog. And the dog would be like, oh, gosh. And she, take me to Mosul. I want to get bad guys again. Now, this is amazing. After being with us, I think a couple of weeks or something, our intelligence component, we found out that she, we found out that she had a sister that was alive in Mosul. And we went and got her. And when I say got her, every time we do a movement into Mosul, it's a mission. Am I right? Because it's ISIS territory. And people say, oh, it's been liberated. Well, we were there before it was liberated. After liberated, it's just as dangerous in so many ways. Because now ISIS has, they've relaxed their position when they're in. You're driving by, you see a guy looking at you like this. You go, "Ooh, you must be ISIS." We got the little girl, brought her to our house, our home. The little baby was sleeping. We placed a sister with her. And when she woke up the next morning, her big sister was next to her. It was unbelievable. That's in Mosul, actually right in front of the CCP, where y'all work so much. And then that's my dog, Scout. Scout is a service dog, working dog, multi-purpose. So basically, she lets kids play with her, pet her, all that. And yet, she can target a man and take him down very fast. And people are like, "Oh, she's so cute." I'm like, "Yeah." And people say, "Is this emotional therapy dog?" I go, "Yeah, because I'm a veteran, and when I carry her with me, I get good feelings. Especially when she's face-to-face with an ISIS guy. I have good emotions." There's General Mustafa. What a great guy. A legendary general in the Iraqi army that actually at one time was fighting against Americans. Isn't that interesting? And now we're friends fighting a common enemy. And we've become very good friends. This general, who's a Sunni Muslim, held a birthday party for me. The second year I had my birthday in Iraq. And he presented me, you ready, with a silver chain and a cross in front of everybody. And he said, "This is from my family to you." He said, "You and folks like y'all have shown us what Christianity is really about and who Jesus is." From the words of that man's mouth to my ears, I heard this. And he said, "I know I've won many battles against ISIS because of y'all being with us and your prayers to Jesus." And he goes, "May Jesus keep you safe and stay with us too." Pictures are worth a thousand words. Try not to let my superpowers out, but sometimes, you know, you got to get somewhere. It's like, that car was about to run over me. Or was it parked in the wrong spot? I can't remember. I was like, "This is my parking spot. Yo." Okay. That's actually a little street. And we do distributions of food. And then Lion and Lambs, that's our main thing. If you want to help us out, help us get Lion and Lamb life packs into the hands of kids. That little stuffed animals, they actually, you press it, it has a, we made a special composition of music to help lower stress and anxiety. You know, when children here in America get, they wake up afraid, how do you think they wake up? So many of them in tents, hundreds of thousands of them. So when they grab, press the paw, they hear this music. It's culturally to them. And then there's prayers in their language, truth from the Bible. Shalabang. Are there any others? That may be it. Another family, they just come to CCP. They needed milk. For a while there, we were making so many runs into Mosul with milk, they started calling me the milkman of Mosul. That was funny. And diapers. And I'm smiling big because that baby needed a diaper. You ain't lying. This little kid was at the CCP and dirty water, you know, and all that. He had an infection, a fever, he was crying. We just walked over to him and gave him a little lion, pressed the music, and that music started playing and the prayers, and he stopped crying. And he held, and his parents were just like, "These are Muslims. Man, didn't God say, so let your light shine before your good works, people glorify God?" Look, we don't have to try to be lighthouses. I'm only a spark over there. But it's so dark, even that, people go, "What? What was that? He's helping our kid." It's a big witness for the Lord. And God's actually already preordained good works for us to do. So it ain't like we have to try. We just have to hear and obey. And then you feel purpose in your life. Good friend. Great friend. I met him in a camp. Pulled him into our work as a translator, young man. And he's Yazidi, hated Arabs because of the tension between the... And he eventually gave his life to the Lord. He's honoring his all get out. Probably doing, you know, he just would rather be a poet. And he loved helping children. The last picture taken of him, he's holding an Arabic, an Iraqi soldier. And he has his hand over his face to shield him from the sun. He's holding him like this. An injured soldier is unbelievable. And then he was shot that day in his belly by a sniper. And the guy driving our Humvee right there, his name is Muhammad. They're all in it, and long story short, the Humvee was disabled. They couldn't move. They were in advanced position rescuing a little girl and her dad. The girl had been shot through the eye socket. And Muhammad got out of this disabled Humvee and ran back to a place where he could get another vehicle to come and rescue them all. And Shaheen got out first. We're going to transport the girl. He was shot immediately. Snipers have been just banging the snot out of them. They were stuck. And it was just bomb, 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 bomb. So it was the worst of all situations. And then when he was shot, he went down. Muhammad got out of the driver's seat to come get him. And he was shot 8 times. 1 in the neck. And Muhammad lived. I was just with him a little over a week ago. How about that? Shot 8 times by ISIS. He's on a video. I'm like, this is a guy I never want to fight. Can't kill him. And he just had surgery. They took that round right out of his neck. And guess what? We got to pay for it to help him out. Isn't that great? And Muhammad ended up giving his life to Christ, and I think it was on Easter. Gave his life to the Lord. Unbelievable. Shaheen is with the Lord. He died 10 days after he received his initial injury. Okay. Well, I'll show you one 60-second video, and then we'll close in prayer. All right, that's it.
Hey, Victor Morris here. First, let me show you where we are. We're deep in Mosul. You can see the destruction. This area has just been liberated from ISIS and we're going to move it. There's fighting behind us, but we're going to have deep. And for this mission, we got a call from Joe Mustafa, contact, and he said, there's an orphan baby boy that needs help. His parents were murdered. Just shot down by ISIS as they were trying to escape. So we prayed, and that's John prayed. We couldn't give all the details, but here's the result of your prayers. This little boy's name is now Ali. Ali. And named after a soldier who was trying to rescue him and was killed with the parents. So thank you. Here we are. Got diapers, powdered milk, vitamin mail, and an armored vehicle with AKs. And grenades, who would have ever thunk it? Thanks for praying. ReachChildren.com. Victor Marks here. God bless you.
So that's our world. That's what we're living in. That's what God has us doing. And we're actually starting an orphanage actually right now. So we feel like the Lord is leading us to do that. People always want to have one-on-ones with me afterwards, and I just can't. We actually have to get a bite to eat and catch a flight out to California. I'm doing more speaking. But I'll say this. If God speaks to your heart about and what we do and you want to be part of it, go to the table. There's a sign-up list for emails. It's very important you stay connected with us. Also on social media. And then you can, I have my book and film. I have a film on my life story, and it's triggered out there, Mr. Crothers.
Yes, sir.
Triggered is a film on trauma we just completed. And the way we do it is we just give our resources away, right? I don't grab a big stack, good night, and put them on eBay. But take, listen, read, use, give to others. And if you want to be part of our team, support or prayer, yes. Are we adding more people to go in? No, not right now. But we do need people praying. If you've never accepted Christ, you ought to think about that. If you're walking in darkness as a believer, you ought to repent, right? So you can get free. Because the time is short. Your life is so much more valuable and meant for a reason. And it's not just to do this. Hard times, sure. But I'd rather hard times be orchestrated and under the sovereignty of God than Victor Marx pulling a pin on his own grenade. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Lord, I ask if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, Christ, and your Holy Spirit's actually convicting them right now. I pray that they would seek to respond to your Holy Spirit and be forgiven, Lord, and surrender their life to you. Not religion, but in that personal relationship. If that's you, if you're listening to me and you go, hey, Victor, would you pray for me? I need to give my life to Christ. I need to be forgiven. My life's in, you know, goofiness. It's messed up. Or I just know I need to surrender my life to Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Where are you at? God bless you. And you, raise your hand so I can see y'all. God bless you. 3, 4, you. Anyone else? You sense God's dealing with you. I wouldn't resist him because it's all based on love. I mean, that's it. Anyone else? God bless you, young lady. Lift your hand up. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for y'all. God bless you, young lady, and you, ma'am. Good. That's 7 of you. God bless you, sir. That's 8. It's good. We see this happen everywhere we go. I see you, sir. 9. That's God's Spirit saying, let me make you born again. Put my Spirit in you. Give you purpose, value for your life. I created you for a reason to know me and to experience what he's doing. Anybody else? Victor, I need to be born again this morning. Would you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Yes, sir. Even oldsters get never too late. Yeah, Grace. That's 10 of you. I see you, man. That's 11. Okay, I only have room for one more. Who's going to... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. God bless y'all. Anybody else? And I'll pray. Now, you're a Christian. You know the Lord. But, man, you are not with him. You don't walk with him. You're in darkness. And you just go, oh, my gosh. I need to be forgiven, cleansed. I need to get back on the straight and narrow path. Pray for me, Victor. Raise your hand. I'll pray for y'all. God bless all of you. Good. God bless all of you. Good. Good. That's where you begin, acknowledging I'm not in the right place, Lord. Don't you think for a minute about a lie that God can't break any addiction or weirdness in your life. Cut that out. He's God. He can part the Red Sea. He can heal the leper. He raised a dead person. And then he himself, not trying to show off or anything, but was raised from the dead too. I think he can stop your porn addiction or hatred of your wife or husband, lying, whatever, cutting mattress tags off. I don't know. Whatever your deal is. I think God's able. I think God is able. Because with him, all things are possible. He said all, not some. He said all. We're the ones that limit us and the lies from the enemy. Anybody else that would say, Victor, pray for me. I fall in that category. Just God bless you. Good. God bless you. And you. Anyone else? God bless you. All right, Lord, you've seen every hand raised. And maybe those who aren't, maybe those who are watching or listening. We pray, Father, that by the power of your Spirit, you would do the work. You would cleanse from the inside out, wash everyone. God, who knows they need the cleansing power, and it comes through your blood, the blood that you shed on the cross. Thank you, God, that you make us white as snow. Thank you that we can come to you, and when we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So I pray for those who really come to you for the first time today. I pray that they would surrender their heart. They would confess you as Lord. With their mouth and say, Jesus, be my Lord and forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, thank y'all for this time. Yeah, where's Mr. Crothers? You want to see my dog? Is she here? Scout, where are you? You want to come up here? Scout, Foose up. Come here, I introduce you to Scout. Come on up here. Come on. Foose. Good, yeah. So, if you see us out there, guys, don't pet her, because she don't like guys. Women and children can pet her. It's good. And this is a dog, literally, that has been face-to-face with an ISIS commander that I actually got to pray for. It's unbelievable. We're going to unveil that story soon enough. And then within hours, kids are playing with her. Pretty good stuff. Thank you guys for never forgetting us, because we won't forget y'all. Thank you. Love y'all. Amen.